Thank you, Larry. It's good to be here this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I would say to you, Habariyako, how are you today? I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the Lord's protection and blessing. Our recent trip to Kenya, my brother Brian McIndoe and I were able to travel and without really much mishap. For those of you that get email, don't believe anything Brian says that happened to me. I didn't eat a bug. Actually, I did. But after he'd send some of those, he'd tell me, he'd kind of smile. He'd say, I probably ought to tell you what I wrote about you. But we were richly blessed, and we're thankful for your prayers and for your concern for us, and we could feel the Lord's working among us as we were able to travel about a country that with roads that don't exist and weather that was rainy and slippery and at times was like being on ice. The mud there is, I guess it's clay or something, and it really does get slick. But he watched over us, he protected us and inspired us and directed us, and we're really thankful for all the prayers. We had several goals or objectives, I should say, when we went on the trip this time. We had some specific things we wanted to be able to do. We had a contact in the capital city of Nairobi that we wanted to be able to make again. There were some new villages in the Kisii area that we had promised the people we tried to come to. We wanted to strengthen the congregations that are there. We had brought with us ballots for the referendum for the year 2001, and we had three meetings planned, referendum meetings. We wanted to work some on our home that we rent there, and to be able to work in the office that we have rented, and to help and encourage the members there to begin to build some temporary buildings. In addition, there were some problems, as there's always are when you have 200 people, and we had hoped to be able to spend some time with the families and within the congregations, and so we were trying to go at a little slower pace and take some more time off from regular services and go and visit in the villages and the home and that, and which we were able to do. Another thing that we tried to accomplish was to provide some Sunday school materials for them. The General Sunday School Association had donated some money for the work there, and we bought a lot of materials here and carried them over. We bought some more in Nairobi and brought them into the Kisii area. And then left money for them to be able to buy some Bibles and some more supplies there. We were richly blessed in these endeavors. We saw the working of the Lord and some of the problems between some of the groups, and it was, I wouldn't say it was non-existent this time, but it was virtually non-existent. Things that had bothered the workings of the Lord in the past and was holding some of the groups back, they were dissolved, and we were thankful for that. We saw, and I petition your prayers on behalf of some of the men over there. We know that Brother Moses is the only priesthood in Kenya, and he needs additional laborers there to help for him, but we saw the Lord working with probably six or eight of the men. There's a man by the name of David in Singara that he's very well read and is a spiritual person, and he had been somewhat discouraged about some of the problems, but he's coming back strong, and we're thankful for that. And some of the new members and some of the last time we were there, their groups that they're meeting with have grown, they've been strengthened, There's a couple. I'm going to drop some names here because I would like you to remember people in your prayers. One is that David. There's a man by the name of Simon in a little village of Raba. There's another man by the name of Kennedy in the village of Risa. Elud, and then there's another Moses. We call him Peter, so we don't get the two mixed up. And there's a new member. It was a new group that we went to this village, a new we visited, and we're there a couple times and ended up baptizing about 10 members there. His name is Samuel. It's not Margaret's husband, but it's the same name. And then, of course, there's Michael that has been doing a lot of work for us in traveling and has a group in Katuka. I guess the encouraging part about those things is these men that I mentioned here are studying. They're kind of drawing themselves closer to the Lord. They're being a good example in their community and encouraging the groups that they meet with, and they've been a blessing. I can't tell you how we saw them allow the Lord's Spirit to work with him. Another one I'd like you to remember is Margaret's father, Brother Osaka. And he had been discouraged the last couple times that we were there. And we had several opportunities to talk to him. He is back among us and strong, and he continued to hear our prayers. We ran across this time about the worst roads. We thought the roads were bad before. But we went down roads sideways, backwards, frontwards, into the ditch, out of the ditch. And all this time, Brian McIndoe is smiling because he likes the four-wheel. And the vehicle that we have will literally go anywhere. I know I said that last time, but it really proved its salt this time. We did run into some problems. Everybody tells you anything you read, when you go to Kenya, you're going to fix flat tires. Well, we never have in the past. Well, we had four flats in 2 days. So we have been, whatever. But they always happen at the right time. Once was right in front of the filling station where we have it fixed. Another time was on a hardtop road, which we don't get onto very long or very often, and it was right at a pullout where the bus stops. And we're just one time it was in our yard. We never got stranded or anything, and we're able to handle the situations. I those of you that had email, I think Brother Brian wrote about the one instance. We were coming back from a little side trip to another larger town that's on the Lake Victoria. I've got some pictures of that. And we had gone over there because they have an office supply, and it's just a bigger town. And Brian was testing out the car, seeing how fast it was going to go, really, to be honest with you. And he was inspired that at this speed, by the way, it won't go very fast. It'll go 85 kilometers an hour, which 60% of that is the miles. So, it goes 50 miles an hour top speed downhill. But we were, he was inspired that at that speed, that if he had a blowout or a flat, that the truck would flip. And so he slowed down. And a little bit down the road, we had a flat. And it would have flipped, because it almost flipped at the lower speed. And we were thankful for that. We had some problems with the clutch. The clutch was slipping, we had a tight schedule. We had four or five villages that we had to go, so we just kept on running. We would have to let it cool off and take off again. And the last trip home that day, the brakes went out, and we brought it to the mechanic the next morning, and he told us that truck is absolutely undrivable. And we've been driving it for 4 days. But the Lord had watched over us, and we were able to meet our schedule, and we arrive safely and we're able to get where we needed to go, and we were thankful. We knew that there were many times as we were traveling, as I said, the roads were extremely bad. We knew that the Lord was watching over us and protecting us. About the last week we were there, it didn't rain. So that was, you having trouble hearing me? Is that better? Thank you for telling me. I'll try to talk in this more. And what I've got some slides here, and I might have to carry this mic with me while I do that. Does this thing come out of here, Harvey? And I'd like to show them fairly fast. Unfortunately, I have too many slides, but I think they'll be of interest for you. I told you we went to visit, went to Kissimmee. It's a neighboring town about probably 50 miles away. It's right on the shores of Lake Victoria. It's the largest freshwater lake in the world. Can you see this? Or I am in the way. And these pictures, that top picture is Moses and his wife, Nora. And she's just a real sweetheart. I really enjoy it. You see that smile? She is smiling the whole time. We're walking down the road, and she keeps on worrying about me falling, which I finally did. And she kept on saying, so sorry, every time I slip. You know, she's expecting a baby in August. I said, why are you worried about me? I'm worried about you, you know. And but she was really sweet. And the bottom picture is Margaret and her husband, Samuel. They had come with, actually, Samuel had a court case over there. He's an advocate or a lawyer. And he was there on business. Moses and Nora had never seen the lake. They've lived within 30-some miles of it or whatever all their lives. They had never been to Kissimmee. It was a big journey for them. Moses wanted to see the fish, so he went down right down to the shore there. Back in here, you can't see it, but we were at a place called Hippo Point, and they have hippopotamuses in the water there. Am I doing that? Yeah. And I didn't have this picture last time, but that's a good shot of the Land Rover. We're really fortunate to have. It's really been a blessing for us. I don't know why I got all these pages in here. The first Sunday we went to Moses' village, into where his congregation, it's not his village, but it's where his congregation meets. And this is where they meet, right out here in the trees. While we were there, right down the hill from this spot, the church has bought land, and they will begin to build a building. Hopefully, the roof will be up by the next time we go back, but we'll see. It's typical of where they're meeting, right out here in the open. They don't have any place for winter. Can we do something with this? Can you read that?
No.
Okay, that's too bad. I took great pains to take that picture, and I can't get it there. But anyway, it's the program. It's the program, and each one of these services, they'll have the program written there. And it's a little bit of like Mexico. You know, once it's on the program, it does not get changed. Anyway, it says there'll be a time of greetings, and there'll be opening song, and then words of testimony, I guess it is, and some announcements, and a scripture reading, and the Sunday schools come up and sing, and then there's an offering, and then there's a court. This takes about an hour and a half, and then you get a chance to preach. And then this is a preaching service and closing song, but you'll find that all in the various congregations. Another reason I showed this is because what they have here is a blackboard and chalk, and those we gave them. They had nothing. They were meeting in the woods. You know, they'll carry the chairs from the houses and that. But it's been a blessing for them just to have a blackboard, and they use it for their Sunday school. We have about half the congregations have blackboards now, and the other half are getting them because we've got some funds from the Sunday School Association to get that. If I start talking lower, raise your hand and I'll try to speak up. This is one of the new congregations, but they have a shelter. As you can see, it's just grass or something on the top, but it gets them out of the sun at least. It helps them in the rain. They're singing this group here on the bottom was a Sunday school class, and they were acting the song out as they sang. I think this is the road they said we couldn't get up, and Brian had to show them that we could get up. And some of them had to walk. This is a clutch was slipping at this time, and some of them had to walk. But the first time we had made it, and the second time we couldn't. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know how she puts up with me. And now that's on the bottom one. That's Margaret and Moses and Brian, of course. Brian's the one on the left. This is a new village. This is right before a baptism service. This is the second time we've been there. Moses has been there several times. The man that is the leader there, Samuel, had been a friend of Moses, had gone to school with him, and Moses had went and talked to him about the gospel. He was baptized the last time we were there. And they're meeting alongside the road, and we have a temporary shelter. I think we had about 10 baptisms. Since we left in April 1st, I guess, whenever it was, Moses had a baptism service and baptized about, I think it was 13. And then while Brian and I were there, we baptized 25. So there's like 285 members of the Church of Christ. And we had about six or seven baby blessings. I got to bless a baby by the name of Sue. And this is one of the baby blessings, and this is the river where the baptisms occurred in this new village. But I can't say the name of the village. Nasirio or something like that. And this is Brian performing the baptism. And Moses is down there. It was kind of slipped, and so he had help. Maybe that's not. It was a neat spot, though. Perfect spot for that. And then this is, we did the confirmation service right there. Margaret's lining everybody up. Our smarter with the yellow folder. It's a beautiful spot. Worked out real good. We had, I guess it's pretty short. This is another village, a village of Ramba. It's in the northern district. They have a little shelter that they have put up. What we hope to do is most of these groups are meeting in the rain or out in the sun. And we have, we're encouraging them to get some organization and get the permission in writing for the use of the land and bring it to their chief and have him witness that they have use of the land. in hopes that we can supply them with some iron sheets for roofing. This one has it, but they'll probably put a V-shaped and maybe a little bit bigger building. We've told them that they had to elect a chairperson and a secretary and a treasurer and have some organization for our mission there before we could do that and have approval for the land. So villages like this who are doing that. This building here happens to be on one of the members' land. And so, you know, they're just going to go to the chief and give us approval for the church to be meeting there. We hope that you'll see a picture of a temporary building that they constructed in the village of Kentucky. The church bought the iron sheets. We have about $300 invested. By the time they finish this temporary building, it'll probably be about $500. It's made with a metal roof and timbers from the trees around there, and then the sides of it are sticks and mud, and that's the stage it's at. We dedicated that building, and they will finish it off, and it will be smooth, and they'll put windows and doors on it. But they were really excited. It was really something that dedication service. The sister of the person whose land it is, she had been raised on that land also, came from a place about 50 miles because she heard that they were dedicating a church on her home property. And this lady was excited. I mean, she was funny. They asked her to say something. She was going like this while she was talking, and she just couldn't help. She was so excited because she had been a Christian, and her whole family had not been. The whole village, for that matter. You know, one of the members of the church there now used to be the local witch doctor. And, you know, there's just been a complete changeover. And she was so excited that her village and her parents' property and that now had a Church of Christ on it. It was really... And they translated it, and they said, this sister, whatever her name is, very... very glad and excited. You know, Brian said, you didn't have to translate that for us.
That one we got. This is a... We borrowed a building of a church in the village of Sendero. To have our one of the regional meetings, and about 120 members met here, and we had a referendum meeting. We had a preaching service, and then we had a referendum meeting, and they voted. And that's what they're doing up there. They're voting. And they really did well. They understood the subjects. They didn't vote until they knew that they understood it. And it went real well. One of the things we had to laugh about. Well, here, I'll show you. This is the inside of that building. This lady up on the top one on the left, or on the right up here, that's Margaret's mother. She lives in a neighboring village, but this is a regional meeting, and it seemed like most of the ladies were on one side and all the men on the other side. That's the first time I had seen them. They ask a lot of questions, which is really good. They said we had three of those meetings, and they all went well. Amy, where's Amy? You'll appreciate this next picture. Because we worry about things like the dining hall committee and, you know, how we're going to eat and everything. We fed 150 people in less than 10 minutes, and they all got a half a loaf of bread and a pop. And actually, this is Sister Alice there, Patrick's wife. And we had bought 100 loaves of bread, and they just cut them in half and right through the paper and everything. And as you walk through, you got that and a pop, and you better be satisfied. And you know what? It was pretty good. Yeah, it really was. This bottom picture is a picture of the Gatuka, and that's a picture that Brother Michael is helping us there, and a man by the name of Moses that we call Peter Moses. And this is the village where one of the members had been the witch doctor. And this was their first, the first time we met there was nothing there. The second time we came there, last September, there was this structure. And we met there every time, and they have now constructed a building next to that, which they never met in until we were there. We had a baptism service there. I think there was one person baptized here. There's probably 25 members of the church here the time we were there. We had a regional meeting here for the referendum, and there's the blackboard we gave them. But now they've built a building. Here's some of the Diana Ray is fine. This is a cousin of Margaret. She's working for her now. Her name is Josephine. She's a real nice lady. She's a real nice lady. This is a man by the name of Evans. And just the kids were kind of acting out a song here. I'm standing in the cornfield. This is the front. They have a ribbon. It's actually a roll of toilet paper across the door, and they haven't been in it. And this is the backside. I'm in another cornfield. You can see how it is made. You know, the last time we were there, the roof was just about all the way up. But now they've put the other sticks in, and they're filling it in with mud. And then they'll finish that all off. It'll be like a smooth finish. It'll be hard. It'll harden. Yeah, and they call that a temporary structure. It looks pretty permanent to me. That bottom picture is we're cutting the ribbon, going into it. All I can do is tell you there's just a wonderful spirit there. We had a word of prayer before we did that, and Brian offered, and then I cut it, and it's Brother Osaka on the left there. And as we cut that, the gust of wind just picked up, and this is a sheet or something that they had used on the closing of that, and it just blew that open, and it was just as if we were all welcome there. And it was a really neat experience. And so they're using that. They're going to keep the other building that you saw, you know, just the overhead thing to have Sunday school in and things. And this is a pretty good size. I forgot exactly what size it is. 20 by 40, I think it is, something like that. And so it holds pretty many people. Brother Michael, the man that helped with the building and is kind of in charge here at this congregation, he has quite a bit of experience building. He's currently working as a contractor and is building I'd call it a strip mall, but it's a strip mall Kesey style. But, you know, there's several shops, and they're pouring concrete, and, you know, it's a pretty substantial building. So he is committed to help all the other congregations build the roof, and so they get it measured right and you know, it doesn't fall down on them. So that's going to be a blessing. And here's inside of it. You know, decorated it up, and in Sunday school, they all had special songs and things, and because this is the dedication ceremony. So we had that day, we had some baby blessings, we had a baptism and a confirmation service, we had a dedication of the building, and then we had a referendum meeting. And, you know, it really went good. It was a great day. This is one of our favorite spots. my baby's name is Susan. So we were thankful for the Lord's protection, like I said, and for each of those chances that we had, and we're already looking forward to being able to go back in September. One of the things I'd like is as I'm reflecting on our trip and thinking about it and trying to put them all together and looking at our notes, I was recalling some of the things that I had talked about once I got back from some of our other trips. One of them is a sign I keep seeing over there that says, "Obey your thirst." You know, follow your instincts. You know, telling us to do, and it's a Coca-Cola ad or some soft drink ad, and it bothers me because it's telling us to do exactly, you know, what we aren't supposed to do. That we're supposed to yield and follow the enticings of the Holy Spirit. And there's signs all over the country telling them to do their own thing, and that's been a bother to me. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians in the second chapter, and I'm going to run out of time. Yeah, I'm going to. Second, 1 Corinthians, second chapter, verses 9 through 14. But as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, which we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." We're admonished in the Scriptures to do exactly the opposite of what that sign says over there, but that we should yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. In the Mosiah, on page 218, in the Book of Mormon, it tells us that for the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and become a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becomes as a child submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all the things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as the child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come that the knowledge of a Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. We're to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. We're to put off the natural man and humble ourselves, be patient, full of love, and submit ourselves to God. Opposite of what that sign in the world tells us each day. Over a couple of pages on page 223 in the 20th to the 23rd verse. It says, "Even so I would that you should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God in your nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken of by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins.
and you shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. Again, an admonishment for us to humble ourselves to the depths of humility, and a promise that if we do this, we will grow and we will have our sins remitted, and we'll retain the remission of our sins, and we'll grow in the glory of God who created us. Another saying that I had come back with one of the trips, and it was as I learned some Swahili, and it was moja kwa moja, one behind the other. Moja is the word for one. It means one behind the other, or a straight line, straight path. We use that term a lot for directions over there, but to me, it the thing that comes to my mind is the straightness of the path and the need for us to be on that straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. I go over to Matthew in the 7th chapter of Matthew. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The need for us to not only humble ourselves and but to get into that straight and narrow path and just continue on it, for it leads to eternal life. One of my favorite scriptures is in the Book of Mormon on page 162, and it's talking the same, or telling the same things, that, starting with the 25th verse, talking about after you've entered into the into the waters of baptism. It says, and then you are in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. You have entered in by the gate. You have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And you have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if you enter in by the way, you should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that you have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. A need to humble ourselves, a need to get onto that path and to continue in that straight and narrow way, which leads to eternal life. Page 110 in the Book of Mormon. A similar thought. Verse 79. Oh then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that his paths are righteousness. Behold, the way of for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no service there. And there is none other way save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. And whosoever knocketh to him will he open. And the wise and the learned, and they are rich, which are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their riches, yea, they are they which whom he despiseth. And say they shall cast these things away and consider themselves fools before God and come down into the depths of humility, he will not open unto them. But the things of the wise and the prudent shall be hid from them forever, yea, that happiness which is prepared for the saints. The paths of righteousness, a narrow, straight course, and the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel. The last trip, I came back and I told the story about the rope on the cows. Do you remember that story? I think I told it here.
You know, the cow's running around with this rope hanging onto him. The rope doesn't have any idea where that, you know, cow's going to go. And he said, don't be a rope. Know where you're going. Have a purpose in life. Know what leads to eternal life. Make sure that we're on that straight and narrow path. Don't get ourselves caught up in the cares of the world and allow them to choke out the good seed that the Lord has sown. I'd like to turn to page 430 in the Book of Mormon. It reminds us of the purpose and the need for us to be steadfast. Verse 226. And now, my beloved brethren, I would that after you have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that you should come forth and harden not your hearts any longer, for behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if you will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought unto you. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as you have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. For us to remember the time, to be full purpose of heart, and to not procrastinate. The choices we make today are the ones that lead us to eternal life or eternal damnation. Remember what our purpose here. This is the time that God has allotted us. Think of that cow running around Kenya with that rope. Don't let the world drag us around. But know where we're headed. Know that make choices that are righteous choices and be steadfast and immovable. Don't listen to the signs that said, follow your instincts. There is a need for us to continue to humble ourselves before God and ask Him for direction in our life. There's a purpose in life. This is our time now. Hebrews tells us that the Lord is our rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. There's a need for us to seek. I'd like to turn to the 6th chapter of Matthew, 23rd and 24th verse. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Let me go back to 22nd. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We've got a choice to make. We can serve the riches and the cares of the world, or we can serve God. Where our eye is or where our efforts are focused, that gives us the light. We need to focus on the things of righteousness and have that direction. Well, this time we have a new saying from Kenya. And it came about in a kind of a comical way in that they seemingly have a cultural thing that they don't do two things at one time. And we were kidding them about that they can't do two things at one time. Moses said to us, you can't burn two sticks at one time. One will be ugly. You got to think about that. Isn't that what the scripture I just read says? Can't serve God and mammon at the same time. We've got to make a choice. And that's the time that we're in to make those choices. Don't burn the two sticks. I'd like to turn to page 451 in the Book of Mormon. Verse 71.
Thomas, thank you, chapter 73.
It says, now the decrees of God are unalterable. Therefore the way is prepared, that whosoever will may walk therein and be saved. Brian read that scripture at one of the services and it really impressed me. You know, because it says so much. You know, the commandments, the ordinances, the doctrine of Christ and His promises, His blessings are unalterable. He doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Malachi, I am the Lord God, I change not. You know, no variableness of turning. Have you ever thought of that scripture in the first chapter of James? And, you know, no variableness of, or shadow of turning. How does that go? Shadow of turning. Yeah. I don't know if this is going to work, but I thought of this. Yeah. I've always wanted to do something. Now there's a shadow. And God, He said it doesn't change. No variableness, you know, the shadow. How does that scripture go? I'm going to have to look it up. Shadow turning? No shadow of turning. And, you know, no matter what angle we put in that, you know, there's no shadow of turning. Okay? Now, I can force that, but He doesn't even vary this much. See how much there's just a little bit of change? Affects on that screen. But He never changes. He's always the same. No matter where He is, what challenges, you know, whatever angle we're going to go, He's always the same. You know, the world kind of fluctuates. You know, we bend the rules a little bit all the time, you know, and it changes, and so with the times. But there's no shadow. No shadow of change. Now we can live and we need to live and be mindful of that, that He is the same. Unalterable. Doesn't change. His commandments, His rules, His regulations, and His promises are always the same. It says, therefore, the way is prepared. What is the way? Scripture says that Jesus Christ said, I am the way. He's the way. There's no name under heaven by which we can receive salvation except through the Jesus Christ. He has set the example for us. He walked among the children of men. He set in place His church. He taught us His doctrine. And He called men to represent Him. And He is the way. We must follow the example that He walked in. He says that, you know, He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He says He's taught us, the scriptures teach us that He's taught us all the things we must do in order to obtain eternal life. And we're told not to procrastinate, but to continue in the way. You know, and it's been prepared, it says, from the foundation of the world. It was in God's master plan, you know, this plan of salvation, that His Son would take on the flesh and come down and walk among the children of men and set the example and would sacrifice Himself and be a perfect sacrifice for the atonement of our sins. That we might be redeemed and be brought back into His presence to be judged according to our works. That's what the Holy Scriptures teach. And each one of us here needs to be reminded. I know each one of us know it. But we need to be reminded that the purpose that we are here, you know, that we aren't caught up in the cares of the world and the things thereof. Unalterable. It says they're prepared, you know, that. I might like to read a scripture. Page 26 of the Book of Mormon. Starting with verse 27. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world. If it so be that they would repent and come unto Him. For he that diligently seeks shall find. Promise of God. Turn to page 746 in the same book. Verse 9. And because of faith of men, He has shown Himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father,
and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might have hope for the things which they have not seen. Wherefore you may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith. Behold, it was by faith that they of old were called after the holy order of God. Wherefore by faith was the law of Moses given. But in the gift of his Son hath God prepared a more excellent way, and it is by faith that it hath been fulfilled. It says, if we will. The Lord has prepared this plan of salvation for you and I to follow, to have these examples. And then it says, you know, that whosoever will. You know, it's our choice. We have to have the will, the determination to be steadfast. We have to make that choice. We have to be determined. We have to already know how we're going to react to things. It's not something that just happens as we go through life like some things do. But we have to have a determination and seek it diligently. We read the scripture this morning on charity, the need to have charity, you know. And it tells us to pray for it with all the energy of heart. It takes a will and a determination. For the plan is unalterable, the way is prepared, and it is for whosoever will. And that's where we come. It's our choice. Because the plan has been prepared since the foundation of the world. You know, that we might walk, that we might perform the labors, that we might bring forth fruits meet for repentance, that we walk on that straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, and it says, and we will be saved. And it's our choice, our will, our desire, because the Lord has prepared the way. We have to remember to not burn those two sticks at one time. You know, we can't serve mammon in the world. If we do, you know, it says, according to Moses, something's going to come out ugly, you know. We're not going to make the ultimate goal that we have, you know. Because the scriptures teach us that in the last days we're all going to stand before God and be judged according to our works. These books are going to be open and our lives are going to be compared. And it's our choice, our will, our determination, our diligence, our steadfastness. And it takes our prayers and supplications and humbling ourselves and study and to be among the body of Christ whenever we can. Among our brothers and sisters, to get our strength from their testimonies and their prayers, that we might hold each other up. You know, it says that, you know, that after they were baptized, their names were taken to be numbered among the Church of Christ, so that they could be remembered in their prayers. And that's the importance. That's why God has provided that we might have a church, that He has His ministry, that these scriptures have been preserved. They're for us, not as a decoration on the coffee table at home, but for us to study, for us to ask God and to humble ourselves in submissiveness and prayer. And this is our day and our time. I am thankful for the opportunities that the Lord has given us, and I am aware that in the last days here we are to find out that this gospel of the kingdom is to go to all the nations of the world. And many will come. And I'm excited about that. And that's the time that we live in. And we don't want to be left behind, any one of us or our families. And it's important that we stay on that straight and narrow path. Moja qua moja. You know, that we don't be that rope and be led around by Satan. But to remember this scripture. Yeah, since Brian read it, one of the first weeks we were there, I wonder how many times I went back to it. And there's just so much in that one scripture. The decrees of God are unalterable. You know, and the way is prepared. That whosoever will, or if we will, if we're determined, we can be saved. It's our choice. He's provided the way. Thank you for your time. Appreciate your prayers and for the work and Kenya, and for our safety and protection, and the Lord heard them, and I'm thankful for it.